VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today. It's going to be a news roundup day today, and we have tons of material, more again than what we can have time to share with you today. And so thanks to Lori for putting together so many stories for us here. And friends, it's unbelievable what is going on. We certainly live in troublesome time. Paul called them perilous times. And just to see the fact that these things are escalating so quickly across our nation today. But friends, don't lose heart. Don't fear, because God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If these stories today, as we share them with you, my goal is not to frighten, it is to burden you, to be serious in your faith with Christ, to be serious as the role and responsibility we have to occupy till he comes, being salt and being light until the Lord returns. And so we're going to be sharing much with you, and certainly I trust that this will burden your heart in the matter of prayer. I would like to start off with a good news story first, something to praise the Lord about that happened earlier this week, and that is Johnny Erickson Tata shared news earlier this week that she is cancer-free, diagnosed with breast cancer for the second time last November, underwent numerous radiation treatments, but on Tuesday, she shared a photo of herself holding up a sign, all clear, on her website and also on her Facebook page. She says, thank you for lifting us up before the Lord Jesus. For now, we've been spared of more cancer battles. We humbly realize that that may change in the future. But for today, for now, we are rejoicing in those wonderful words from my medical oncologist, all clear. Onward and upward, she said. So praise the Lord for that issue in Johnny's life. As we turn to a number of stories today, yes, the Middle East continues to be a matter of concern. From townhall.com, speaking from the White House yesterday afternoon, President Trump announced that the U.S. shot down an Iranian drone in the Strait of Hormuz after it approached the USS Boxer carrying 2,000 Marines. The Boxer's an amphibious assault ship. Well, the Boxer took defense action against the drone, which had closed in a very close distance, approximately 1,000 yards, ignoring multiple calls to stand down, and was threatening the safety of the ship and the ship's crew. The drone was immediately destroyed. This is the latest of many provocative and hostile actions by Iran against vessels operating in international waters. The United States reserves the right to defend our personnel, facilities, and interests, and calls upon all nations to condemn Iran's attempt to disrupt freedom of navigation and global commerce. I also call on other nations to protect their ships as they go through the Strait of Hormuz and to work with us in the future. Well, friends, breaking news here today, indeed, as this from FoxNews.com, Iran has seized a British-flagged oil tanker today in the Strait of Hormuz amid growing tensions in the region. The Stena Impero, which had a crew of 23 on board, approached by unidentified small craft and a helicopter during transit of the Strait of Hormuz while the vessel was in international waters. The shipping company owns the vessel, said we're presently unable to contact the vessel, which is now heading north toward Iran. That story still developing. Also from townhall.com, Iran state television yesterday said that the regime seized a foreign tanker accused of smuggling oil along with its 12-member crew. The admission comes after an oil tanker based in the United Arab Emirates disappeared earlier in the week. The Revolutionary Guard forces intercepted the ship in that same strait south of Iran's Larak Island. This is the Washington Examiner. The U.S. military has verified North Korea has a missile capable of striking anywhere on the U.S. mainland. It's an ICBM, has an estimated range of 8,000 miles. North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un, officially named head of state and military commander-in-chief of North Korea in a new constitution that was released last Thursday. It's a move some believe is meant to set the stage for a peace treaty with the U.S., formally ending the Korean War. Time will tell. A very, very troubling story, and friends, this is happening all too often in our country and around the world as well, but it's so often in the U.K., such a violation of human rights going on in the UK. Here from LifeSiteNews.com, parents of a little girl who suffered a sudden stroke, now fighting for her life against doctors who wished to remove her from life support and let her die. Tafida Rakib is lying in London's King College Hospital, suffered a sudden and rare rupture in her brain in February. A brainstem test has shown that she is not dead. Her doctors, however, who are convinced that she will never recover from her minimally conscious state, wish to remove her from a ventilator, thus bringing about her death. Her mother told LifeSiteNews.com that neither she nor her husband want this to happen. They believe their little girl's recovering. They found a hospital that is willing to treat this little girl. It's a Gaslini pediatric hospital in Genoa, and that's Italy, and want to take her there. However, in a situation reminiscent of Alfie Evans and Charlie Gard, the doctors believe it's in her best interest to die. And then also from LifeNews.com, doctors in Genoa, Italy, state that they have an expertise in this condition. They're willing to treat Tafida, and they suggest that is a good chance that she will emerge from the coma that she's in, according to Ron Little of The Sun. But the Royal London Hospital is refusing to let the parents take her to Genoa. The view of the doctors there is that they can do nothing more for her, and that would be better for her to be left to die. Don't you just love that universal health care? Okay, let's go to, and by the way, I'm not just pointing at the UK. Look what's happening in Texas with that 10-day rule that was never rescinded. And we have seen the similar situations take place in the state of California as well. Coming from the Industrial Equipment News, IEN, President Donald Trump signed an executive order Monday that will require federal agencies to purchase products using more American components. The order will gradually boost the percentage of U.S. components for qualifying American-made products from 50% to 75%. He said the threshold would increase to 95% for iron and steel products made in the USA. News also this week, I'm reading from townhall.com, former Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens has died at the age of 99. He was nominated to the Supreme Court by President Gerald Ford. He served on the Supreme Court from 1975 to 2010 when he retired. That's when President Barack Obama appointed Justice Elena Kagan. Although Stevens was nominated by a Republican president, as he got older, he frequently joined the liberal wing of the court. He voted to limit the use of the death penalty, to uphold affirmative action, to broaden the core holding of Roe v. Wade, and argue for a strict separation of church and state, ABC News reported. FoxNews.com has the story of President Trump yesterday, last evening, matter of fact, announced that he's nominating attorney Jean Scalia, that's the son of the late Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, to replace Alex Acosta as Secretary of Labor. The surprise move, which top Republicans privately supported, was a visible manifestation of the close personal bond that the president has forged with the Scalia family in recent years. The resignation of the secretary became official today when his deputy Patrick Pizzella will take over as acting labor secretary pending Scalia's confirmation. From OneNewsNow.com, Ilhan Omar drawing new attention this week after introducing a resolution supporting the BDS movement. That's the boycott, divestment, sanctions movement against Israel, and comparing BDS to other boycotted countries such as Nazi Germany, South Africa, and the Soviet Union. The purpose of the BDS movement is to isolate Israel, already hated by much of the world, from its trading partners. The resolution does not name Israel by name, but Omar told media outlets it's about the Jewish state, Fox News reported. Yesterday, we got into some of the matters going on, the Twitter wars and between the former congresswoman and the president, and trust that yesterday's program sufficed with comments pertaining to it. Breaking Israel news, a leader in Gaza stated that the Palestinians in America and Europe have been preparing to kill all the Jews, giving the world 1 week before all of the Palestinians around the world slaughter and kill every Jew on planet Earth. He later modified his statements, limiting the scope, calling on the Palestinians in Israel to kill only the Jewish population of Israel. Speaking at the weekly March of Return riots on Israel's southern border, Mahdi Hammad, a member of the Palestinian Legislative Council, called for his brothers in the diaspora the diaspora to kill Jews all over the world. His speech was translated by the Middle East Media Research Institute. I just want to share some excerpts. Our patience has run out. We are on the verge of exploding. If this siege is not undone, we will explode in the face of our enemies with God's permission and glory. The explosion is not going to be in Gaza, but also in the West Bank and abroad. If you don't lift the siege, we will explode in the faces of our enemies, Allah willing. And the explosion won't just be in Gaza, it will also be in the West Bank and abroad, Allah willing. Our brothers abroad are still preparing. They are warming up. They've been warming up for a year and a half. Oh, you 7 million Palestinians abroad, enough warming. Up. There are Jews everywhere. We must attack every Jew on planet Earth. We must slaughter and kill them with Allah's help. Enough warming up. Hamad also called for the Palestinians in Israel to intensify their stabbing attacks against Israel civilians, saying, quote, oh, the people of the West Bank, until when will you be quiet? We want knives to come out. 5 shekels. How much does the neck of a Jew cost? 5 shekels or less. He also stated that Hamas was making explosive belts to be used against Israelis by Gazans passing through the border crossing in order to work in Israel or to receive humanitarian services. Folks, this anti-Semitism and the Jew hatred is just waxing worse and worse. It is intensifying. And here they are saying that the leader from Gaza, Palestinians around the world, preparing to kill Jews. Let's go to FoxNews.com. Oregon public schools now be required to teach students about the Holocaust and other genocides throughout history. This is a bill signed by Governor Kate Brown on Monday. This was a 14-year-old girl and a 92-year-old Holocaust survivor that had devised the legislation. It comes amid a poll in which 2/3 of American millennials surveyed could not identify what the Auschwitz concentration camp was about, according to the Associated Press. Well, folks, there's much going on in New Zealand. Our listening friends in New Zealand making us aware that an official New Zealand government website wiping Israel off the map. Indeed, Immigration New Zealand, an official government website, published a fact sheet with a map of the Middle East that showed a Palestine, but not Israel. Following a barrage of complaints on social media, the webpage was removed, though through the screenshots still remain. The Israel Institute New Zealand called for a retraction of the map. The most immediate obvious of the errors was a map labeling the whole of modern-day Israel as Palestine, said Ashley Church, the Institute's director. That's incredibly offensive, the equivalent of New Zealand Immigration displaying a map of the UK, which removed Scotland and Wales and referred to the entity of the British Isles as England. Also, reporting from the Times of Israel, a lawmaker for New Zealand's Green Party said Jesus' mother Mary, her husband Joseph, they were Palestinian refugees, she says. The representative of the Jewish Council told the Jewish Telegraphic Agency that this lady is wrong. She's calling Mary and Joseph Palestinian refugees. And Judea renamed Palestine, we know, by the Roman Empire, long after the death of the Lord Jesus. Well, she was born in Iran. Her family sought asylum in New Zealand when she was a child. In 2017, she became the first refugee to be elected to the New Zealand Parliament. What an interesting parallel to what we see happening here in the United States. One other story here on New Zealand after the break. This is Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, is the metamorphosis of a caterpillar into a butterfly an example of evolution?
No, it certainly is not, Chris. The caterpillar has all the genes necessary for it to alter its shape into a butterfly and then lay eggs which could turn into a caterpillar. This is not evolution. It's simply growth. In fact, this is one of the greatest arguments against evolution. What could cause a perfectly happy caterpillar to attach itself to a tree and dissolve into a mass of jelly and come out with wings and legs and everything that a butterfly has? Natural selection would not do this. All the genes would have to be present at the beginning and could not have been gained one by one. Chris, I think you recognize this as an evolutionary just-so story. A much better story is the one we read when we go back to Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and having a news roundup day today. Certainly, we observe what is taking place in New Zealand. So interesting because New Zealand has a population that is, I believe they're saying it's 1% Islamic, but yet how this nation had the audacity to wipe Israel off the face of the map. Very interesting indeed. By the way, and we'll get to New Zealand again, but these fires that have been occurring in Israel, evidence of arson now discovered at the scene of this massive forest fire in Israel. Molotov cocktails found strategically spread out at different locations throughout the scorched area. Well, in New Zealand, a survey conducted recently, New Zealand came out as the best Muslim country in the world. Iranian economist Hossein Askari based his research on Islamicity indices, which measure four key areas, economy, law, governance, and human and political rights and international relations of a country. Although Muslims comprise only 1% of the country's population and 50% of the citizens are Christians, New Zealand ranked the first because the government closely adheres to Quranic principles, reports the Unshackled.net. New Zealand beats immigration-friendly European countries such as Sweden in second place, as well as the Netherlands, Iceland, Switzerland, Ireland, and Denmark, France. France was 24th. Saudi Arabia, Muslim-dominated country, ranked 45. Yemen, where Islam is a state religion, 153. New Zealand, number one. Story that is coming to us from the Western Journal. Three Muslims found guilty of murder, sentenced to death by firing squad in Morocco. Prosecutors dubbed them human beast, convicted of filming themselves, beheading and condemning as enemies of God a couple of Norwegian hikers. Oh, let's get back to the UK. The Daily Signal reporting. Let's see what life is like under Khizr Khan in London. The UK, most notably London, has experienced a sharp increase in knife-related crime despite knife control efforts to curb the violence, newly released figures detail. Knife crime in both England and Wales is up 8% from April of 2018 to May of 2019. UK police reports from 43 departments recorded 47,136 incidents involving the sharp objects. Blades found on one person have been increased 21% since 2018. It's an 8% rise, is calculated to equate to an increase of over 3,300 knife-related incidents compared with this time last year. The number of knife-related incidents has been on the rise for years, increasing by more than 42% since 2011. And guess what? Even with the strict firearm control, firearm offenses have increased by 3%. There's been one fatal stabbing every 1.45 days so far this year in England and Wales, the BBC reported in May. 1.45 days, a fatal stabbing. Fatal stabbing. Killings every 1.45 days. And the numbers are escalating. Let's go to an article from townhall.com. Department of Homeland Security, Department of Justice issued new asylum rules on Monday in hopes of further curbing fraud and abuse fueling the current border crisis. New rules will bar Central Americans and other asylum migrants from seeking asylum in the U.S. after failing to do so in the first available country as they travel through New Mexico. Those new rules went to effect this past Tuesday. And from the Washington Times, a federal appeals court sided last Friday with the Trump administration's effort to punish sanctuary cities, ruling that the federal government can reward communities that cooperate with ICE on deportations. At stake are policing grants, which the Justice Department doles out each year. Los Angeles has sued, claiming that we're being coerced into cooperating on deportations. Well, thanks to President Trump, that the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals is changing its makeup, and another 2-1 decision said the federal government was not coercing anyone, but within its rights to reward behavior. Meanwhile, we have the mayor of Chicago declaring war on Immigration and Customs Enforcement again. This is from TheNewAmerican.com. and vowing to hamstring raids to deport illegal aliens who have been ordered to leave the country. The obstruction of justice Mayor Lori Lightfoot confessed at a press conference with immigration advocates on Wednesday, reiterated what she said last month when President Trump announced raids that he canceled. Chicago officially stands for illegal alien anarchy and won't help ICE enforce duly passed immigration laws. That is the sum total. From the NewAmerican.com as well, the removal of the flag of the United States and its replacement with the flag of a foreign nation, the Republic of Mexico, at a U.S. ICE detention facility in Aurora, Colorado last Friday evening sends a powerful message of the disloyalty of some of the open borders movement to America's national sovereignty. In addition to tearing down the U.S. flag and replacing it with that of Mexico's, protesters spray-painted the words "Abolish ICE" on a Blue Lives Matter flag and then flew that flag upside down. FoxNews.com, a Minnesota city council on Monday reportedly agreed to reinstate the Pledge of Allegiance at meetings weeks after the group sparked a widespread and high-reaching backlash by removing the pledge's recital. Officials for St. Louis Park unanimously voted to reinstate the pledge. The city council is the controversial Democratic Representative Ilhan Omar. She is the one who resides over that in her representation to the U.S. Congress. From FoxNews.com, the self-proclaimed Antifa militant who was killed Saturday by Washington State Police as he attacked a local ICE detention center was seen in a recent CNN program that critics say glorified a radical left-wing movement. William Van Spronson sent a manifesto to friends the day before the assault in which he wrote, "I am Antifa," and now he is lionized by members of the left-wing group as being a martyr. Townhall.com, Texas Representative Joaquin Castro, alongside a handful of other Democratic politicians, introduced a bill on Tuesday that would ban the federal government from describing illegal aliens as illegal aliens. The Correcting Alienating Names in Government Act, or CHANGE Act, would make any person in the country without permission referred to as either a foreign national or an undocumented foreign national. PJ Media Tyler O'Neill accurately described the bill as if it were something out of 1984. Democrats have insisted that no one is illegal even if they break U.S. law to enter the country. This involves an Orwellian redefinition of immigration, claiming that immigrants cannot be illegal because to be illegal is supposedly less than human. It's less than human, so we cannot call them illegal aliens. We have to call them undocumented foreign nationals. Let's go back to the New American. World Health Organization has declared the Ebola outbreak in the Democratic Republic of the Congo an international health emergency. Hundreds of African migrants, some of them from the Congo, are crossing the border with Mexico. Any with Ebola might infect not only the illegal aliens tramping up from the Northern Triangle, but also the border agents, anyone else that they deal with. More than 30,000 Africans were headed for the border. The New American reported in early July, citing a report from the Center for Immigration Studies. LifeNews.com, in 2017, President Trump signed an executive order defunding UN Population Group because it pushes abortions in other countries. Well, he renewed that in 2018 and has just renewed the order again this year. In a statement, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo determined that China's family planning policy still involved the use of coercive abortion and involuntary sterilization practices, conditions that under U.S. law require an end of to funding, a State Department spokesman said. David DeLeiden, LifeSiteNews.com, big victory for the First Amendment. When we find that a federal judge in San Francisco indicated his intent to decisively cut back Planned Parenthood's retaliatory lawsuit against the Center for Medical Progress for the undercover videos documenting Planned Parenthood's sale of aborted fetal body parts. In the tentative ruling, which he instructed the parties to treat as if it were substantially final, Judge William Orrick III rejected Planned Parenthood's false and long-running smear that accused this organization, citizen journalists, including David DeLeiden, of attempting to incite threats and violence by publishing the undercover videos instead of simply publishing a true news story of public interest. The ruling significantly downsizes Planned Parenthood's lawsuit, reducing potentially over $20 million at issue to less than $100,000 as that case continues. LifeNews.com, Texas Governor Greg Abbott ceremonially signed a bill yesterday to provide stronger protections to infants who survive abortions. He signed the measure into law last month, but held a signing today to allow, yesterday, to allow the public to celebrate the new law. Also from LifeSiteNews.com, last Friday, Oklahoma County District Judge Cindy Thruong upheld the state's 2015 ban on second trimester abortion procedure known as dismemberment abortion, to the chagrin of the abortion lobby. Speaking of abortion, what a shakeup going on at Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood Federation of America Operation Rescue reports that the CEO, Leanna Wen, fired unexpectedly on Tuesday, immediately replaced by an interim CEO, board member Alexis McGill Johnson. Probably no coincidence that Wen was fired the day after the Trump administration's Protect Life rule went into effect after the Ninth Circuit delivered Planned Parenthood a huge defeat, said Troy Newman. The new interim director is a longtime Planned Parenthood Federation of America board member. And very interesting, as Matt Staver also points out, after she was appointed president, multiple senior officials at Planned Parenthood have left, including the former executive vice president, the former executive director of the group's political arm, the group's former director of political outreach, the senior vice president for policy, advocacy, and campaigns, and a vice president also submitted a resignation this week. LifeNews.com says that Planned Parenthood abruptly fired its CEO Tuesday because she apparently did not push abortion politics aggressively enough. New reports suggest that there may be more to the story, though. One source told BuzzFeed News that Wen refused to use trans-inclusive language. The abortion chain apparently wanted her to say that people can get pregnant and have abortions and not to use the word women. You know, you got to say, yeah, you know, due to this transgenderism going on, they want to be able to say that men can have abortions, too. And she was not going down that transgender pathway that Planned Parenthood is on. Wen reportedly resisted their speech demands, saying the transgender language would isolate people in the Midwest. Okay, well, there's more to that story, too. But since we're on the topic of transgenderism, Daily Signal, one of California's most liberal cities, voted Tuesday to revamp its city code book by replacing terms like manhole and manpower with gender-neutral terms. Berkeley City Council voted to replace around three dozen terms found in the municipal code. Terms like policeman and policewoman, chairwoman, chairman will be changed, as will he, she, him and him, him and her. Regal Robinson, the Democratic City Council member who wrote the ordinance, said the change is necessary because a male-centric city code is inaccurate and not reflective of our reality. Listen to some of these changes that they are making in the city codes. Can't say brother or sister, you have to say sibling. Don't use chairman, use chairperson. Can't say craftsman, you have to say craftspeople or artisans. Can't even say a manhole cover, you have to say a maintenance hole. Man-made? No, you can't say that. Has to be human-made. Don't use the term manpower. They changed that to human effort. And you can't even use the term pregnant women. You have to say pregnant employees, because after all, you know, you might have a pregnant male as well. Repairman? Well, that's just repairer. And certainly salesman is salesperson, and on the list goes. So folks, the political correctness is running amok, and right now, ground zero at Berkeley, California. Back in just 1 minute, you're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Racism is a charge often leveled in today's society. But did you know that we are all one race? Of one blood? We are all part of the human race. It is imperative for children to understand what God's Word says on this subject, that they know the true history of life, so that we can build a truly Christian worldview and address the matter correctly. In the hardcover book, One Blood for Kids, author Ken Ham addresses this critical issue in a way that brings understanding to children. This book takes the reader on a spiritual journey, presenting the real history of man, the connections between us, and how the variations of our skin tones reflect the creativity of our Creator. Fascinating facts and full-color illustrations are throughout the book. One Blood for Kids is available for a donation of $17 or two copies for a donation of $30 from VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829.
It's Crosstalk on VCY America. I've got some more I just need to share with you today because our culture is such that it's so turning its back on God. And the necessity for us to stay in prayer and for us to share the gospel, the good news that we're sinners, our sin separates us from a righteous, holy God. Jesus Christ came and paid the price. He shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. He died, he was buried, he rose again, he took our sin upon himself, so that placing our trust in him, we can have everlasting life. The gospel message is so critical to get out in this world today, because what we are seeing is just this massive escalation of perilous times, as scripture forewarned about. Let me just share a few more stories with you today, and I do want you to have some time on the phones, but this comes from Todd Starnes. A British doctor suing the government after he claims he was fired because he refused to refer to a 6-foot-tall bearded man as a madam. Dr. David McArith, a devout Christian, said he was terminated from the Department of Work and Pensions because he refused to use transgender pronouns during an interaction with a patient. He's alleging that he was discriminated by the government on the basis of his religious beliefs. He says gender fluidity is no more than one's own fantasy about one's own self. Well, let's head back to New Zealand again. The headline, Robbing Women of Opportunities, Fury After Transgender New Zealand Weightlifter Wins Double Gold. The transgender debate. This is RT.com. Transgender debate in women's sport has reignited after New Zealand's weightlifter Laurel Hubbard won 2 gold medals at the recent Pacific Games, being accused of robbing fellow competitors of victory. Hubbard was born as Gavin before transitioning, picked up double gold in the women's category, the 192-pound category at Samoa 2019 Games over the weekend. Gold medal haul has been met with anger from Samoa 2019 organizers and also many online. The chairman of Samoa 2019 said Hubbard's success was not fair to women weightlifters. The IOC and the IWF, International Weightlifting Federation, do not discriminate against transgender athletes. And while this may be hard to accept, we must learn to adapt to these rules because it will not change for anyone. Well, the online backlash was even stronger as Hubbard and officials accused of stealing opportunities from female weightlifters. And Racine, Wisconsin passed the so-called conversion therapy ban for minors, trouncing on parental authority in that regard, reads the Wisconsin Family Action. Here's how a local media outlet characterized the actions of Racine City Council this past Tuesday. Racine has become the 5th city in the state to enact a ban on conversion therapy, the practice of trying to force someone to change their sexual orientation. The city council voted 11-3 Tuesday night to prohibit paid therapists from using the therapy on anyone under the age of 18. There were a couple amendments made there saying it had to be a paid individual, not just any individual. But that trend is continuing all across the country. And even in small communities, things are happening. This is from the Wausau Daily Herald. And the Wausau is a city in Wisconsin. There's a Rejoice translator there. And throughout the state of Wisconsin, many listeners. But the Wausau Daily Herald reporting of provocative, gender-bending fun. Drag shows draw diverse and enthusiastic crowds in central Wisconsin. Drag shows, once the domain of big cities and gay bars, now drag queens are becoming mainstream entertainment stars, even in central Wisconsin. Talking about one of 8 drag queens performing at Holly Rocks June 29th, a downtown bar hosting this Pride fundraising event. 400 partiers were there, people of all sexual orientations, they say. But it's something that is spreading to small towns across the state, and cities across the state. Yeah, places like Green Bay and Eau Claire, Wausau, Stevens Point, even in Rhinelander, Wisconsin. Folks, I have to tell you this. You've got to be aware. I grew up in a generation where mom could drop me off at the public library and come back an hour or two later, And I'd have my books to go home for the week or the month or whatever it would be. No more. And this is my personal opinion. I warn you as parents to never, ever, ever drop your child off at the library alone. That's coming from me. LifeSiteNews.com tells us of a national conference teaching librarians how to sneak drag queens past parents. It's a little lengthy, but you must know what is going on and what instruction is given to librarians all across this nation, those not just in public libraries, but those in school libraries. The American Library Association's recent national conference provided librarians from across the nation with strategies for advancing gender identity ideology in schools and finding ways to bring drag queen story times into public libraries despite the objections of local communities. The conference, held just as disturbing stories came to light across the country about drag queen story times held in public libraries. On the West Coast, young children photographed having extreme physical content with a drag queen, while on the East Coast, a drag queen who read to young children was discovered to be involved with numerous lurid and pornographic sexual businesses and activities. Held in Washington, D.C., the week-long American Library Association conference brought well over, listen to this number, over 21,000 attendees to the nation's capital and featured workshops with titles such as Queerness in Comics, A Child's Room to Choose, Encouraging Gender Identity and Expression in Schools and Public Libraries, LGBTQ plus creators and characters in kids, tween, and teen comics, Reading the Rainbow, Teaching Kids About Pride and LGBTQ plus History. Here's another session. Are You Going to Tell My Parents? The Minor's Right to Privacy in the Library, and Telling Stories, Expanding Boundaries, Drag Queen Story Times in Libraries. In one breakout session about LGBT-themed children's literature, librarians took time to brainstorm suggestions for non-traditional families, books that they could promote, such as My Brother's Husband, Lumber Janes, and Pregnant Butch. The LGBTQ plus creators and characters in kids, tween, and teen comics workshop panel of queer creators and allies discussed the importance of centering queer stories, working to break stereotypes, and the importance of giving all young readers the chance to meet queer characters in comics pages. A Child's Room to Choose, Encouraging Gender Identity and Expression in School and Public Libraries, was the title of a workshop hosted by Imagination Press that provides kid-friendly introductions to LGBTQ plus history and gender identity. Here's another one. Telling Stories, Expanding Boundaries, Drag Queen Story Times in Libraries explored the public library as a site for the intersection of gender expression, identity, and intellectual freedom by discussing the phenomenon of drag queen story time. Beyond introducing LGBT-themed children's books, the American Library Association speakers tutored librarians on defending the availability of those books as well as child-targeting LGBT events held on library premises. The description for a workshop titled Censorship Beyond Books declared that librarians need to learn strategies to protect events like drag queen story time. While the profession is well-versed in protecting the right to read books, many libraries lack policies and experience in protecting the right to access information and services beyond books, often in the form of content created by their staff. They said, prepare, prepare, prepare when planning events like the Drag Queen Story Hours, advised Deputy Director for ALA Communications and Marketing, Macy Morales, at another workshop. It was titled Controversial Speakers, Plan for Your Library Event, Things to Consider. Preparer made ready-made responses for social media. Anytime you're dealing with media, put together a series of talking points. This workshop on Are You Going to Tell My Parents a Minor's Right to Privacy in the Library? Asked questions like, should libraries record and share a minor's internet browsing habit with their parents? One graphic depicting the top reasons for book challenges offered a telling list of the top 10 objections, the top objections to library materials, and these are in descending order: LGBTQIA+, sexually explicit, gender nonconformity, obscenity and profanity, nudity, occult and Satanism, pornographic, transgender characters, confuses children, same-sex married couples. That list is the objections that people raise why you need to return or get books out of the library. Folks, I could not in good conscience suggest that you send your children to the library unattended when you understand this training that just went on in Washington, D.C. to impact libraries all across the nation. I've got more to share, but let's open our phone lines today. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. While you're calling, FTNNews.com is reporting that Greater Fort Lauderdale is going to host the longest-running transgender conference in the United States. It's coming up August 15th through 17th. It's called the Southern Comfort Transgender Conference, welcoming hundreds of attendees, series of workshops, seminars, and network events hosted at the Riverside Hotel. Folks, Fort Lauderdale is on a huge PR campaign to get LGBTQ plus folk into Fort Lauderdale. The article says they've been proactively targeting and welcoming LGBT plus travelers since 1996, when it became the first convention visitors bureau with a gay-centric vacation planner and dedicated website on their convention visitor bureau homepage. The destination, Fort Lauderdale, you going there, folks? Now welcomes 1.5 million LGBT plus travelers annually. It also features one of the largest pride centers in the country, the first and only World AIDS Museum and Education Center, home to the Stonewall National Museum and Archives. Most recently, Greater Fort Lauderdale opened the area's first LGBT plus visitor center in Wilton Manors. We'll get your thoughts on these issues. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Our number, 800-733-9829. Lines are open. Let's go to Monroe, Wisconsin. Mark, you're on the air.
Yeah, my comment is this. Through the week, I was watching ABC's Nightly News with David Muir. My opinion is they totally flunked Journalism 101 pertaining to the whole Trump rally, center back controversy. I listened to it. I watched how they edited, how they slanted the narrative, and I thought it was pathetic. By rights, if they had any integrity, by rights, I believe they ought to have had Jonathan Carl actually approach Ilhan Omar and totally demand that she explain her anti-Semitism remarks and attitude, and her, and on top of that, also her, all of her anti-American attitude.
Mm. Yeah, and yesterday we shared on Crosstalk the full tweet that went out from the president. We've only been getting part of it.
Right.
And that's what kind of launched the firestorm back and forth, and we dealt with a broader issue yesterday on there, but, yeah, the media does a great slice and dice job, and, you just witnessed it, Mark.
Well, thank you. And again, people have to understand, you know, at some point in time, you really have to read between the lines because there is that much discrepancy there. And if you don't pick up on it, there's a good chance you're going to be deceived by it. So that's all I can say.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you. Angel in Sarasota, Florida, you're on the air.
There's a good chance you're going to be
Angel, turn your radio down, please.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
I wanted to just chime in on your homosexuality forum. Is that okay?
Sure.
When I went to college, in Psychology 101, they said one of the forms of psychosis was gender identity disorder.
Yeah.
And I don't know how a government can legislate sin or make special rights because of a sexual preference.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem legitimate. As far as what I was listening to is the library, that's really scary stuff because if you can't allow your child to go to a PG-13 movie, why would you allow them to go to a state-funded library where there's homosexuality and Satanism being preached?
Yeah. Yep. Angel, you've raised a great point. And it really is one that leaves you scratching your head on that issue. I'm up against a break. I'd have to run for now. Thank you for the call. We'll be back in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. Recently, an article in Physics World revealed exactly what we've been saying in our series on brainwashed America, that those desiring to brainwash people will use those who are perceived to have credibility. They'll use those with credibility, put them up in front of a group, and use their credibility to brainwash someone into believing that which is not true. Well, recently, as I said, Physics World did an article where a group of evangelicals took a supposed expert scientist on global warming, who claims to be an evangelical, put her up in front of a bunch of Christian university students, largely many of them who did not believe in the myth of man-made global warming. Well, a study showed that simply putting her up as an expert by their conservative, so-called, Christian, so-called, leaders, increased their chances of switching their position. They went from being against man-made global warming to for it. It shows you how brainwashing can occur.
By the way, do you have Apple products? Apple is going to be rolling out more diverse same-sex emojis, 75 different combinations coming up this fall. That's going to promote more inclusion and diversity. Yeah, emojis hitting iPhones and iPads. Different combinations of race and gender, like same-sex couples holding hands together as an emoji. And one other thing before I get to the phones. This is an interesting article that came forth out of Reading, Pennsylvania, Jeremy Long, and it is from the, I believe, the ReadingEagle.com paper. Dozens of people ready to make history Monday evening by raising the pride flag over City Hall and for the first time to do so. But Mayor Wally Scott had a different idea. He said no. He said no. He prohibited the council and city employees from allowing that flag, recognizing Reading's pride celebration for people in the LGBT community to be, he stopped this just minutes before it was to be flown, saying that this represents a political movement and it's against city policy to do so and would not allow for the pride flag to fly above City Hall. He's been taking flack, but I commend this mayor, Wally Scott, for making the decision. If you'd like to be in contact with his office, you can do so at this number, 610-655-6234. The mayor's position that he does not support flags being up that support political movements that he views as a political movement, said the acting managing director, Osmir Deming. Again, the mayor, Wally Scott, who said no to the pride flag flying, 610-655-6234. Randy is calling from Georgetown, Kentucky. Randy, you're on the air.
Thank you. I thought it was interesting. You mentioned they have they invited all the LGBTQ in Fort Lauderdale. They also have an AIDS museum there. Recently up here in Lexington, Kentucky, they had this, you know, Gay Pride Day where they had the parades and everything going on. And they also were offering, advertising this on the radios, free AIDS screening. And I just wondered if, do they not see a relationship there with that type of lifestyle?
Wouldn't you think?
And the spreading of AIDS?
Yeah, good point, Randy. Thanks for calling. We have Richard in Burton, Michigan. You're on the air.
Yes, I appreciate your programs and listen to it daily.
Thank you.
I like the news roundup very much. But I'm just kind of tongue-in-cheek in a way. Those transgender pronouns, such as changing firemen to fighters, they often use the word person. But if we break down the word person, it's per son. So
got some problems there. Yeah.
Yes, a problem there. I just thought I'd throw that in.
Thank you, Richard,
for the program.
Sure. Deborah in Milwaukee, you're on the air.
Hi. About 2 months ago, I called Michael Savage. I got through the Michael Savage Nation. And I wanted to say that he's always talking about language, border, and culture, that we're losing it. And I agree with him. 60 million Americans have been aborted. Who knows how many countless millions of Americans have been aborted. That's why you're being invaded by these foreigners. Well, anyway, the person said, Mr. Savage does not want to talk about abortion. He says, thank you for calling, and hung up on me. So is Mr. Savage stopped on abortion? I don't know, but that, in my opinion, this invasion we're getting by foreigners is all to make up for the countless millions of American citizens aborted. Thank you very much for my call.
Thank you, Deborah. And by the way, Operation Save America in Milwaukee this very week, calling attention to the atrocity of abortion, standing outside abortion centers with another such center tomorrow. You can visit the Operation Save America website. Pineville, Kentucky. Janice, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. The thing that breaks my heart from the very beginning that the lesbians took the rainbow as their colors, and God gave us that rainbow as a covenant with Noah, mm-hmm. that he would not destroy the earth by water but by fire and brimstone.
Yeah.
So they evidently don't know the whole story of the rainbow, or they would be afraid to use those precious colors. And I have a 9-year-old great-granddaughter, and my heart bleeds because I am so afraid she'll be exposed to all this sinful things.
Yeah.
And I just pray for all the children. Always just so terrible. So God bless you and all the children of the world.
Thank you,
they
Janice.
Will not be touched.
Thank you, Janice. And keep in mind, the rainbow still belongs to God. I mean, the phony six-color rainbow, colors that are on the pride flag, that's not the real rainbow. The real rainbow is seven colors. They've got the number of a man. Thank you for the call. I would like to close with a story here as well that ought to leave you thinking, folks. This is from LifeSiteNews.com, and it's regarding the mark of the beast, Thousands of Swedes become microchipped. Thousands of people in Sweden consenting to having microchips placed under their skin to aid them in financial transactions, traveling on the train, opening doors, locked doors. Sweden's Biohacks International has patented a microchip that can be injected into a human hand and used to carry out financial transactions, unlock doors, and access information. Biohacks has now inserted microchips into 4,000 people in Sweden and others from around Europe. Their owner believes millions more will want to be injected with the chip. Sweden already almost cashless, and Swedes trust their government too much to think it would use technology against them. Yeah, one's chip can carry train tickets. National railways are entirely biochip capable, Fortune reported. Many of the country's Nordic wellness gyms are equipped to recognize biochips as pass cards, keys, and passwords to personal information. It's popular with people who are already interested in body modifications like tattooing and piercings. An investigative journalist, author of War Against the Weak, Eugenics in America's Campaign to Create a Master Race, Edwin Black, told LifeSiteNews.com that the new technology could spell the end of personal freedom for whole populations, mentioning that China could be called a pioneer of eugenics of our time. With their social credit system, if this technology became widely adopted, especially in totalitarian regimes like China, we could see the dreaded transition to an unknown region of human existence. With artificial intelligence, anything will be possible. A kill mechanism could be part of the implantable. Also from Breitbart, the Chinese government this week launched what it describes a voluntary security program in the southern city of Guangzhou. I pronounced that wrong. That's okay. We're going to move on. Handing out 17,000 free smartwatches to elementary school children. The smartwatches are linked to their new version of GPS tracking, monitoring children's locations within 30 feet at all times. Of course, the children and their parents will also be monitored by several agencies of the communist Chinese government, including the police and the Minister of Information Technology. The article goes on. Some of this technology is so precise. It knows, and they have cameras in classrooms to know if a child is sleeping. It will notify or inattentive, notify the teacher so he can call the student to order. Wow. Folks, look up. Your redemption draws nigh.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.